Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Recovery Uncovered. I'm your host, Cass, and today we are going to talk to you about supporting the supporter. On today's episode, we have Reese, who does not have personal experience with living with a mental illness and or substance use, but she has a mother who has lived with bipolar for her entire life. As you'll hear later, it wasn't diagnosed until later on in life, but Reese knew that there was always something wrong. And, you know, she spent a lot of her time taking on that role as a mother. And, you know, she talks a lot about what has happened, and I'll give you a bit of a heads up that there might be some triggering about some past experiences that are possible. So just keep that in mind when listening to this podcast. And for without further ado, please enjoy. And if you have any questions you'd like to ask, please do so after the podcast. Hey, Reese.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. So tell me a bit about yourself.
I'm going to be 41 years old tomorrow, and I personally don't have any mental illness or any issues myself, but my mother has bipolar type 2, and she was diagnosed when I was 16 years old.
What is the difference between type 2 and type 1?
Well, there's actually three types, from my understanding. I'm not a professional in it, but so you've got, you know, you've got your bipolar, just straight bipolar, which is more of a mental cognitive problem of understandings and being able to comprehend the differences between reality and fiction. Then you've got bipolar with schizophrenia. There's so many different kinds. My mother's is a bipolar type 2, which is medically treated with medicine. So she's on lithium for the rest of her life. But hers is, she doesn't quite comprehend the differences between reality and fiction. Okay, so for example, I recall when I was a tween, my parents live in the country, and I remember a guy walking down the country road with his rifle strapped to his back, and he was going hunting, which is a normal, typical thing that they do out there in the country, and she automatically assumed that he was coming to shoot us. So it was, you know, at the age of 13, 14, trying to calm my mother down to understand that that's not what's going to happen, and just letting the man go on his way, and my mom not opening the door of the house and causing a scene in our country community. So it's types of things like that that I've lived with, and it's been really hard, but it's been a part of my life since I was born, so it's something you just get used to. I've had a lot of support. When I was in high school, my vice principal was my biggest supporter and taught me a lot about the illness and how to deal with it. And one of the biggest things that I got out of it was just being patient with her and not making her feel different and not arguing with her. So when she felt something or had to express something that she didn't think was right, for example, that man walking down the road with his rifle, not to be argumentative towards her, but just reassuring her more. And yeah, so.
No, I like that you said that, and I'd like to come back to that point as well in a little bit.
Yep.
I just want to first ask, like, what age were you when your parents decided to tell you that your mother had a mental illness?
It wasn't really that my parents decided to tell me. It was just something that was developed and something that was figured out, but it took a really long time. I grew up in Calgary, and approximately every 4 years, my mom would have what we called an episode, and which would result in me having to go live with a family member, an aunt and an uncle. My brother, who was much younger than I, he wasn't in school yet or anything, so he would go to another aunt and uncle, and we'd be separated while my mom was hospitalized and dealing with that. So my first recollection, I was 5 when that started to happen. My father would be a mess. He wouldn't understand what was going on because at this point in time, she hadn't been diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So lived that all of my life. And then it wasn't until we came back to Quebec, my parents decided to move back just before I graduated, was graduating from high school. And in Quebec, you only go to grade 11. So it was when I was 16 years old when my mom finally got diagnosed.
And how old was your mom?
At that point in time, my mom would have been 36.
Mm-hmm. It's actually quite common to be diagnosed with bipolar later in life.
Yes.
A lot of people in their 40s, 50s get diagnosed. Yeah.
And it, I mean, there was lots of digging and trying to figure out why. And it really ultimately came down to the fact that my mom had something very traumatic happen to her when she was a child. When she was 5 years old, she watched her mother, my grandmother, burn to death. And it was never dealt with back then.
Right.
You know, back in the 60s. My grandfather did the best that he could. My mother was struggling as a child. My grandfather took her to the doctors. And back then, basically it was just, well, she's grieving her mother. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know how to deal with that. So it was just, she'll grow out of it.
Do you think she had PTSD as well?
Oh, definitely. But they didn't know what that was then.
Right.
Definitely. She would have night terrors. She would see her mom in her dreams a lot, but she would, and she still does today, but she'll only see her from the neck up. She doesn't see her body that was burnt because her face didn't get burnt.
Mm.
She was able to protect her face. So, of course, she doesn't see the traumatic part in her dreams, but definitely PTSD. But they didn't know how to deal with it. And now, because of that, her living with that all of her life and not getting the proper help when she was younger, it has created damage to her brain.
Mm.
So her brain has that chemical imbalance
right.
that we all know bipolar is. And her brain doesn't produce the chemicals that she needs to be able to know fiction from reality and whatnot. So,
which is very scary, not knowing the difference.
It is. It really, really, really is. I can tell you so many occurrences where, you know, she didn't know reality from fiction. My brother and I growing up at from a very young age, I'm going to say 10 years old and up, my mother, it was normal. It happened often that my mom would just come in our rooms in the middle of the night, something she was thinking about, I guess, when she was alone, and she would accuse us of being on drugs. We were just children. And she would take us to the hospital in the middle of the night. And the doctors, for the first, if I can remember correctly, 2 or 3 times this happened, they would actually do the blood work on us. And they would prove to my mother, because she needed proof,
mm-hmm.
which they would prove to her that we weren't on drugs and that we were okay. But as time went on, they got to know my mom in the community and they got to know her story because it was a small town, small hospital. So then what they would do is they wouldn't put my brother and I through that anymore. They would just take us in the back, make her think that's what they were doing to reassure her and put her at ease. And they'd just take us in the back and talk to us for a little while, make sure that we were safe and we were okay. But they wouldn't actually do the blood work anymore. And then they'd come back with results and just show her that we were okay. But they were the results maybe from our last testing.
I like that they actually did that, though, considering the time of age it was. You know, a lot of times doctors just push people away now. I had an experience where I started hallucinating for the first time, and my reality was different than everybody else's. So I had a bit of experience with that. And mm-hmm. when I went to the hospital, you know, right away it was, no, it's your mental illness. But I fought, and I got, like, one of those spinal taps done and all these other tests done, but it's very hard these days to get a doctor to listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mom, at a young age, when she was a child, because they didn't know how to deal with it, she was put in a psychiatric ward in a building all alone in another community in the city. And it was scary for her. And my grandfather, he didn't quite know, and he was French, so he didn't quite know how to express himself to say that she needed some testing and something more was wrong. So, of course, back then they didn't do it.
Right.
You know, in the 60s and 70s, they didn't do it. So maybe that is why it took so long for my mom to get properly diagnosed
mm-hmm.
and to get the help that she needed. But it was a struggle. You know, it was my graduating year of high school, because like I said, we only went to high school to grade 11 in Quebec. I had just turned 16 in May, and we graduated high school in June. So I had just turned 16. My brother is 11, 12 years old. My father's working afternoons. He's gone. He's going to see my mother during the day before he goes to work. I'm trying to graduate high school, and I'm trying to help my dad pay the bills. Not financially, just help him actually physically keep everything in order and pay them. Tell him what he had to go to the bank and do. Mm-hmm. As well as make dinner, take care of my brother, graduate high school, plus get myself into college. And my mom's sitting in the hospital for months.
It sounds like you had a lot of pressure put on you. Do you have any blame towards your mother?
No. I never have. I guess it's my... It's who I am. Mm-hmm. I just stepped up. That's who I am. And I did what I have to do. I'm not going to say I didn't cry myself to sleep sometimes at night by myself and scared and didn't know what was going on. But I also am a big communicator. So I'm not shy to ask for help or talk to people. So I had a lot of support, like from my school and stuff like that. They all were aware what was going on and what I was dealing with. I had my best friend. My father's family... they're a large family, but they don't know very much about mental illness at all. So to them, you know, being a small town country family, it was, my mother was crazy. Mm. And I use that in quotations because I hate to use that word, but that was their word. That's what they assumed, was she was crazy. Where my mother's family, mental illness seems to be a big thing with the girls in the family. I have an aunt that is bipolar. I have another aunt that is schizophrenia. I have another aunt that's got bipolar, so it's very common, and they knew more about it. Mm. Unfortunately, they still live in Calgary, so I didn't have their support, but, I did have a lot of school support and close people like that, so I don't know, I just, you know... Negative things happen in life and you make the best of them and
you're able
I
to
have
keep going.
No, I, if anything, I feel more of a protector towards my mom than having anything negative to feel towards her.
How did it feel having people from your father's side saying she was crazy in quotations, like you said? How did that make you feel?
Frustrated and angry. And again, the rage to protect increased like crazy. Mm. And my poor father trying to sit there and listen to everybody while they're going through the process of trying to diagnose her, he didn't understand it. So he didn't know what was going on. He was scared. And to see my father like that was really, really hard. So trying to support him. My brother had no idea what was really going on. All he knew is his mom was gone. For him, I think this was more of his first time of remembering it.
Okay.
He didn't remember the years before. He was too young, maybe, or he blocked it out, I don't know. But it was hard. It was really difficult to see.
And so you say you got a lot of support. Do you find your dad was very supportive to your mom while she was going through this? Or just maybe he didn't understand enough to fully be there?
He was definitely supportive in how he knew to be.
Okay.
Being there a small French country farming family... My father is not good with communication, so he didn't know how to express his feelings towards my mother. My father's way was to go every day and visit with her before he went to work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm. So he'd go spend the mornings with her. He'd sleep for a couple of hours and he'd go spend the whole mornings with her. He'd make sure he'd bring up fresh clothes for her, whatever I had prepared. I'd always prepare a bag for him to take up. Mm-hmm. So he would make sure he'd do that. He'd sit and have lunch with her. He would listen to her unreasonable conversations that he had no idea what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. He'd sit and listen. He'd get frustrated. He'd cry. I'd never seen my father cry before. Mm. He'd cry. But he would, in the end, he would sit with her every day.
Right.
Day in and day out, he would just stay there with and be with her. And that was his way. He might have not said the words. He didn't know how to say the words, but he was there for her every day. And I wish... As my parents are getting older now, you know, and they've been married now for 43 years, I have to remind my parents of that because sometimes they get lost along the way of their relationship and their love for each other, and they've just gotten into a routine of 40-some years of marriage, and sometimes I just have to step them back to those moments and remind them of why they do care and love each other.
Right.
So that was his way. Just being with her and...
Sometimes that's all people need too, right? Is have someone be there with them. It validates how they're feeling and what they're going through.
Yep.
You said that she was institutionalized in the past. So hospitals were quite different back then, I'm assuming, than they are now. Was it an actual, like, psychiatric